Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of December 18th. Three RTHS students to attend leadership conferences. Rantoul Township High School students Tashea Harris, Anthony Page, and Inara Perryman have been selected to attend leadership seminars this summer. Harris and Page were selected as the RTHS representatives at the U. O'Brien Youth Leadership Seminar to be held at Illinois Wesleyan University. Perryman will represent RTHS at the Illinois Leadership Seminar in June. Harris is the daughter of Tamaria Lewis of Rantoul. Page's parents are Linda Dillman and Marcus Page of Rantoul. Perryman is the daughter of Nakia Perryman of Rantoul. The U. O'Brien Seminar and the Illinois Leadership Seminar are designed to bring a select group of high school sophomores with demonstrated leadership qualities together with a group of distinguished leaders in business, industry, education, science, and government. Rantoul Department hosts Shop with a Cop. 31 children benefited from the annual Shop with a Cop December 7th, sponsored by the Rantoul Police Department. Each child got to shop with an officer for gifts for his or her family at Rantoul Walmart, and they and their families were treated to a pizza party. The police department also gave a gift to each child. See more photos in the December 18 edition of the Rantoul Press. Snowplow damages front of Rantoul business. A Rantoul business sustained an estimated $10,000 damage to its front when it was struck by a snowplow early Monday morning. Fire Chief Ken Water said his department was called to Perfect Nails, 324 East Champaign Avenue, at 4:51 a.m. He said a snowplow had accidentally run into the building. Damaged were two plate glass windows and the brick ledge that holds the windows up. No injuries were reported. A glass company made repairs to the front of the business later in the morning. The fire department was called to check for structural damage. Waters said other than the windows, there was no damage. Fire causes $90,000 damage to Rantoul family's home. Kittens playing were believed to be the culprits for an early morning fire Friday that destroyed a Rantoul family's home. Fire Chief Ken Waters said Allison Anderson, a tenant of an apartment building at 1551 Parr Drive, had been smoking earlier in the evening and put out the cigarette in an ashtray. He said two small kittens evidently knocked over the ashtray and caught the bedroom on fire, causing an estimated $90,000 damage. Firefighters were called to the scene at 12:50 a.m. and received mutual aid from Thomasboro and Gifford departments. When we arrived, there was smoke and flame coming from the rear bedroom, Waters said. All of the tenants from that apartment were already out of the apartment. He said the rest of the apartment complex was also evacuated as a precaution. 12 Rantoul firefighters responded and 8 from Thomasboro and Gifford departments. No injuries were reported. Waters said the family, which consisted of Anderson and three children, got their pet dog out safely. He was unsure whether the kittens were okay. Waters said Red Cross was called to help the family. Village trustees hear complaints about upcoming utility rate hikes. Some residents are not pleased that the rates of all village-owned utilities will be adjusted at the same time next year. Village trustees said they had received public comments questioning the plans. At the board's December 3rd study session, Mark Beauchamp, president of Utility Financial Solutions, recommended increases in three of the four utilities operated by the municipality over a five-year span. Electricity rates will decline slightly in some cases because of higher than anticipated uses in the industrial sector, presumably due to expansion at Rantoul Foods' pork processing plant. Beauchamp, citing debt ratio, cash reserves, utility income, system depreciation and potential growth, recommended rates climb for water, wastewater, and natural gas. Only about one-fourth of the town receives natural gas service from the village. The rest is served by NICOR. For customers with all four village-operated utilities, the overall rate will climb from $175.54 per month the first year to $192.08 per month after 5 years. That amount is actually down from the earlier recommendation of $209 per month in the fifth year. Speaking at last week's monthly meeting, Trustee Sherry Johnson said he had received a lot of calls from residents. "They are not happy with all the rates going up," Johnson said. "They're saying there is money in the accounts, and why do we have to keep raising everything?" Beauchamp had explained the need to maintain adequate cash reserve levels in the event of emergencies and equipment replacement. Trustee Sam Hall said he had received a few comments as well. To summarize, they ask, "Why do them at the same time? Can we stair-step them?" Hall said. Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said a couple of factors weigh into the decision. "Because of the way our computerized system is set up, the ability for our staff to go in at one time and change all of the rates is certainly most effective and efficient if done at one time," Eisenhower said. "The second thing is because of the number of rental properties in town. Setting them at one time so landlords know when those will occur gives them the ability to plan with their residents." Trustee Hank Gamble said what stood out to him in the presentation was that it showed what the village's long-term costs are. "Don't forget, we've got bonds out that we're paying debt service on," Gamble said, adding that Beauchamp recommended increases at a certain level, so the village will have the money to down the road to pay long-term debt, and so that increases will be graduated, eliminating huge increases all at once. But Hall said it was his understanding that increases had not been made incrementally in recent years. Trustee Gary Wilson said some village employees and other people have told him the village's water treatment plant equipment is not getting any younger. "We're 30-plus years now with that equipment, and with the increase in fluctuation on the west side, it's going to take more upkeep. It's the cost of doing business," Wilson said. In discussing the ordinance relating to the rate adjustment for electric, Trustee Mark Wilkerson asked why it needed to be adjusted if there is no rate change. Public Works Director Greg Hazel said some customer rates will decrease, while other areas, particularly the village rate, increases. "Trying to properly allocate costs for that class of service, it's a net zero to the village, but it's a rebalancing of costs." The board passed all of the rate adjustments unanimously. They will take effect in May. Land Bank Director Speaks. The board also heard from Mike Davis, who was recently hired as Executive Director of the Central Illinois Land Bank Authority, which Rand Toole co-founded with Vermilion County. Several other communities and counties are interested in joining the Land Bank Authority. Davis said he believes larger land banks are the wave of the future. "To be honest, I don't think the state wants to see 30 or 40 land banks all over the state," Davis said. "I believe the larger municipalities are important, but whether it's a village of 500 or a city of 30,000, I think there's great work to be done." Davis said prior to the consolidation, Vermilion County received a $300,000 grant and Rand Toole a $150,000 grant. Most recently, the Consolidated Land Bank received another $100,000. He said a land bank in Ohio, located in an area of similar population as the Central Illinois one, received about $500,000 annually in their enabling legislation and about $14 million for demolition of derelict properties. St. Joseph recently joined the area land bank, and Decatur and the counties of Ford, Iroquois, DeWitt, and Piatt are also interested. "I want to see across these geographies how many demolitions are needed, how many rehabs are needed, where planning assistance is needed, prior to going to the state to see how much funding is available," Davis said. "If all I do is 5 rehabs and 5 demos a year, I think I'm a failure as a director. A land bank is a non-profit entity that is established to assemble, temporarily manage, and dispose of vacant land, to stabilize neighborhoods and encourage reuse or redevelopment of urban property." A native of Pennsylvania, Davis moved to Central Illinois after his wife took a position at the University of Illinois. In other business, Recreation Department Director Lou Comfrey gave a timeline for the renovation expansion of the Forum Fitness Center. The village will receive $750,000 from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources grant and will kick in $100,000 in village money. He said he hopes an agreement can be reached in January or February and request for proposals can be issued for engineering services, with the board approving those services in March. From April to May, the engineers will work on plans for the project, and in June, requests for the proposals will be submitted for construction, which would receive board approval the following month. An August completion date will be targeted. The village will be required to pay the entire project cost up front and be reimbursed by the state for a $750,000 share. Humphrey said the village already has the money in its budget. Wilkerson asked if the state had ever reneged on a grant reimbursement and was told it did for renovation of the library, which was converted from an Air Force bowling alley. Village Clerk Mike Graham said he thinks the state will follow through this time. They are paying their bills, Graham said. It's not as bleak as it has been the last 6 years. The new governor is trying to run the train on time and pay the bills. The project will include demolition of walls in the cardio and weight rooms to expand square footage, installation of a drop ceiling in those rooms, the addition of new flooring, new electrical service, and new windows in the cardio and weight rooms, installation of new men's and women's lockers, renovation of the men's and women's steam rooms, installation of HVAC in the locker rooms, and construction of a 3,000-square-foot addition to the west side of the building. Humphrey said new lighting in the gym and locker rooms has already been added. Taco Bell property rezoning. The board voted to rezone property at 629 West Champaign Avenue from R2, single-family residential, to C2, general commercial, to clear the way for construction of a new Taco Bell restaurant. The site most recently housed a used vehicle business. The board approved the board meeting schedule for 2020. Study sessions will continue to be held the first Tuesday of the month, followed by the regular meeting the second Tuesday of the month. All will start at 6 p.m. at the Municipal Building, 333 South Tanner Street. The board extended the professional services agreement with the Pro Ambulance Services for 1 year. Mayor Chuck Smith swore in new police officers, Ricky McComas and Conrad Powell. A native of rural Allerton, McComas had served as a Champaign County Corrections Officer since 2017 and was named Corrections Officer of the Year in 2019. She also previously worked as an EMT and dispatcher for Pro Ambulance. Powell, from Paxton, earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Illinois State University in August. He previously worked with OSF Healthcare Systems Bloomington. Smith also recognized Humphrey for his 15 years of service. Breakfast with Santa Saturday at Youth Center. Rantoul Rec Department will hold its annual Breakfast with Santa. Santa will be on hand from 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday, December 21st at the Youth Center. The event is free to the public. Donations will be accepted. Potomac Library sets Christmas and New Year's events. Events for Christmas and New Year's are scheduled at Potomac Public Library. People are invited to decorate cookies with Mrs. Claus at 1 p.m. Monday, December 23rd at the library. Then they can come to the library and create New Year's Eve noisemakers during their holiday hours, Monday, December 30th. Regular hours, 1 to 6 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, will resume Thursday, January 2nd. The library has announced holiday hours, which will be in effect Monday, December 23rd and Monday, December 30th. It will be open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on those days. The library will be closed on Wednesday, December 25th and Thursday, December 26th. The library recently received instruction on barcoding its collection through the Illinois Heartland Library System. Once this work has been completed, Potomac Public Library patrons will be able to request books through other member libraries. Membership in the Heartland System is made possible by the recently passed district library referendum. The Middle Fork United Methodist Church will be the site of the Community Christmas Eve service, which will take place at 7 p.m. Tuesday, December 24th. Everyone is welcome. Thought of the week. Christmas. The only time of year you can sit in front of a dead tree and eat candy out of socks. Unattributed. And now a letter to the editor. Quick helped to get bolder. To the editor. In the December 4th edition of the Rantoul Press was a photograph of a boulder at the Rantoul Historical Museum with museum president Jim Cheek. The accompanying article told about boulder design owner Matt Meyer donating his boulder at the request of the historical president Jim Cheek. Even though Jim Cheek and his sister Kay Heath donate many hours each and every month to the development and operation of the museum, in this case, the donation by boulder design owner Matt Meyer was the result of Eldon Quick, a former museum volunteer, contacting Mr. Meyer. This request came about because I had volunteered to build a rock garden and paint the wall on the east side of the museum to make this area more attractive. The addition of a large boulder in the center of the rock garden would greatly enhance the project. The museum operation is totally dependent on donations to survive. Thus, when I contacted Mr. Meyer, it was the understanding that we would not pay for the boulder. Mr. Meyer was very understanding and readily agreed that he would provide this boulder without cost to the museum. This rock garden was designed and built by museum volunteers Jim DeSeggio and Eldon Quick. This was one of the many projects that I have been involved in during this past 4 years that I was a volunteer. I was happy that I was able to be a part of the development of this outstanding facility. I urge all Rantoul area residents to take the time to tour the museum. I can assure you that you will be impressed at the size and quality of this Rantoul Historical Museum. Eldon Quick. From Heidi Fogel. Two new mares adopted at Share. Consider gift to keep rescue going. From Rural Dewey. Thanksgiving came so quickly, and along with the holiday came two new rescues. Fancy and Julie joined Share, the Society for Hooved Animal Rescue and Emergency, at that time. Both were abandoned when their owner moved out of state and left them at the boarding facility. Rather than have them sent to auction with the possibility of them being bought by a kill buyer, Share stepped up and took them in. Fancy is an Appaloosa and Julie is a bald-faced quarter horse. Both mares are older, upper teens, early 20s perhaps. They are being evaluated to see where their training is. So far they are sweet ladies, enjoying the company of the volunteers and the grooming. More updates later as we learn more about these mares. With the addition of the two mares, we now have 40-plus horses on hand, counting ponies and our minis. I have in the past mentioned the great need for donations to keep the rescue running. We have very few adoptables on hand, some pasture pets, but mostly our sanctuary horses. We don't sell horses. We do have applications available on our website if you're interested in adopting. Because of the many horses, and since we're a nonprofit organization, I'd like to give you an approximation of what it costs to operate the rescue. On an average, we use 20 bales of hay daily. At the reasonable cost of $6 a bale, the cost is $120 a day. Then multiply that by 30, and the cost comes out $3,600 a month for hay alone. Once you add in the cost of grain for the horses, you can only guess the cost of keeping Share going. Then there's the farrier cost. He comes every 2 weeks and does the feed of 10 horses each time. This is a continuous thing. Add the cost of medicine for our special needs horses and emergency vet care, and our cost is on the low side of $5,900 each and every month. So you see, your donations are definitely needed and so appreciated. You do make a difference in the life of a horse. Donations can be mailed to Share, P.O. Box 8196, Champaign, Illinois, 61826, or our website, s.h.a.r.e.net. From our oldest to our youngest, from the tallest to the smallest, our horses wish you the happiest of holidays. Heidi Fogel, a Rantoul resident, is a volunteer coordinator at Share. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Richard Hardy, 89, of Rantoul, joined his beautiful wife Rosella and his beloved son Tim in the fields of heaven on Sunday, December 15th at Carle Hospital. His lifelong journey will be celebrated Thursday, December 19th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Lux Memorial Home, Rantoul, Illinois. There will be a mass of Christian burial at St. Malachy Catholic Church, Rantoul, at 11 a.m. Friday, December 20th. He will be laid to rest at St. Elizabeth Cemetery, Thomasboro. Alan M. Alley Johnson, 80, of Paxton, died December 14th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. A celebration of life service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be offered at bearfuneralservices.com. Ellen Sickler, 91, of rural Rantoul, died December 13th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Monday, December 23rd at American Lutheran Church, Rantoul. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 11 a.m. at the church. Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul, is in charge of arrangements. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials may be made to her church. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week. Now we'll return and finish with local news and opinion. Now from Scott Reeder in Springfield, parking taxes unintended consequences. Every August, Sandy Fulgenzi shuts down the restaurant she owns with her husband John and stands along Sangamon Avenue waving a flag trying to get folks to pay to park in their parking lot. She mans the parking lot for 14 hours a day during the 10 days of the state fair. She does it because it is the only revenue they have coming in during that time. Now state government is going to make life just a little more difficult for the pair of 72-year-olds. In 2020, it will impose a new parking tax. When the state fair is going on, no one wants to deal with the traffic and eat here. We've tried to stay open and it just doesn't work, Sandy said with a sigh. The Fulgenzis have owned their small restaurant on Springfield's North End for 40 years. Like any small business, it can be a trying experience. I always say if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to buy the 10 people I like the least restaurants. I can't think of a better way to get even, John said with a smile. He is perplexed by why the state is targeting parking for higher taxes. We already pay income taxes on all the money we bring in, and we pay property taxes. Now they want us to pay a parking tax. The state is taxing parking to pay for non-transportation-related infrastructure. Under the new law, the tax is 9% on spaces that are rented by the month or by the year. A tax of 6% is applied to spaces that are paid for on an hourly, daily, or weekly basis. State Representative Tim Butler, Republican Springfield, supported the parking tax legislation, but added it was never the intent of lawmakers to tax people like the Fulgenzis. The idea behind this was to tax those big parking garages in downtown Chicago, he said. I wanted to make sure it didn't tax municipal parking garages in Springfield, but it never occurred to anyone that it might affect parking near the state fair. Homeowners near places like the Illinois State Fair in Springfield, the John Deere Classic in Silvis, or Wrigley Field in Chicago, rent out their yards for parking. They, too, would pay the tax if four or more cars park there. Some days we rent out 15 spots and some days 50, John Fulgenzi said, but we don't rent out 50 very often. Typically, the charge is $5 for a parking space. Collecting and paying the parking excise tax to the state each month will be a headache for small-time operators. I'll have to hire a bookkeeper or accountant to take care of this each month, and that will just increase my cost of doing business, said Tony Leone, who owns about 200 parking spaces in downtown Springfield. As for the tax, I'm just passing it on to the consumer. He said he has already notified his renters that he is increasing the monthly rate from $40 to $45. You can't treat downstate Illinois like it is Chicago, he said. Leone noted that the downstate lacks the types of lucrative private parking garages that are found near O'Hare International Airport and Chicago's downtown. Adam Schuster, director of budget and tax research at the Illinois Policy Institute, said with this new tax and existing county and municipal taxes, only New York City will have higher parking taxes in the United States. I don't think this is how Chicago wants to be the second city, he said. So why are Illinois politicians choosing to tax parking to pay for infrastructure rather than raising an existing tax? The reason is straightforward. They are counting on your ignorance. Their sincere hope is that you will blame the parking lot owners for your higher rates rather than the lawmakers who impose the tax on them. They don't want to bear voters' wrath for increasing the sales or income taxes or cutting state services, so they chose to sneak a tax hike in and hope you won't blame them. Scott Reeder is a veteran statehouse journalist and freelance reporter. You can reach him at scottreeder1965@gmail.com. And now from David Porter in Rantoul. The grass withers and flowers fade, but not kind acts. The block I grew up on was double-sized. Adjacent to our house was an alley that divided the block, but it had never been rocked or paved, so it was a wide grassy strip that connected all the backyards in the neighborhood. There were a lot of families living on the block, so we kids would traverse the alley and use it as an extra play space. The grade school, now long gone, was nearby, and it had been the high school. Because of that, there were several businesses that had located along the street to the west of us. They dwindled over time, but we still had two beauty shops, a barber shop, a dental office, and a florist within spitting distance. Roger's flower shop was at the end of the alley, and behind the store there was a small mound of dirt that they'd used for potting plants. But after hours, it was another place to play. Growing up in the flattest county in Illinois, any kind of hill was a rare thing. I wonder how many plastic army men and matchbox cars they dug out of that hill over the years. The florist was a mom-and-pop shop operated by Bill and Irene Rogers, a virtual Norman Rockwell couple who embodied small-town heartland entrepreneurship. We were always a little afraid that they'd run us off if we were caught playing on that mound of dirt, but we needn't have been. They were kind to the kids in the neighborhood. Kind and generous. It makes good business sense. Back in those days when dinosaurs roamed the earth, kids didn't have a lot of money. Dimes were like dollars and a quarter was a windfall. If you found a nickel on the sidewalk, your net worth just doubled. Downtown there was a five and dime store, which is where most of my change went. I'm pretty sure you could buy comic books, toys, and trading cards there, but all my time was spent in the candy aisle. Aside from satisfying my sweet tooth, the candy lane fit my budget better. But my younger brother, Matt, liked to shop at Roger's Florist. He was well aware of Bill and Irene's soft spot for kids. He might have only been three or four, but we had free-range kids back then. He could get to the flower shop without having to cross the street. He would go in and tell Irene that he wanted to buy a bouquet for his mother. She'd ask him how much he wanted to spend, and he'd reach deep into his pocket and pull out all his money. One dime. That's it. She'd take the dime and fix him up a fistful of flowers. She never turned him down. But that was good business, too. Matt grew up and moved away, but any time he needed flowers, he shopped only at Roger's Florist. It would have been convenient to use a local shop, but that would have been disloyal. I was living in Springfield when I got married, but the ceremony was in Tuscola. Naturally, we had Rogers handle the flowers. I remember not only did they do a fabulous job, but they also sent a beautiful gift which outlasted the marriage. I'd be hard-pressed to name who gave us what, but I remember that gift, and I still have it nearly 30 years later. The shop eventually changed hands and has sat empty for several years now. Flowers fade and wilt, but the kindnesses are still here, thriving in our memories. Those little kindnesses shape us and multiply over time. In this era of scorched-earth politics and the snarkiest of Facebook, it's good to remember the Bill and Irenes of the world and to try to emulate them. Kindness makes people better, and better people make for a better world. David Porter can be reached at porter@ramblinman.us. We could use a little more flower power today, and the metaphorical return of the 10-cent bouquet. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. I hope to read with you again soon.